In a famous 1963 decision, Brady v. Maryland, the U.S. Supreme Court held that the suppression by the prosecution of evidence favorable to an accused upon request violates due process where the evidence is material either to guilt or to punishment, irrespective of the good faith or bad faith of the prosecution. Investigators have all the resources. Frequently, they uncover witnesses or other evidence favorable to a suspect or defendant. For decades, they could simply ignore this exculpatory evidence and proceed with a prosecution. Brady leveled the field and instantly became ingrained in criminal procedure. A Brady request is one of many routine motions a criminal defense lawyer files early in the case. A Brady motion, a Brady hearing, Brady material. I nailed him on Brady. The case worked its way into the vernacular of criminal law practice. Now Barney stood before Judge Jones, with Rogers still in the witness chair and Peterson studying his shoes, with a clear Brady violation. He moved for a mistrial and was overruled. Judge Jones promised to hold a hearing on the matter after the trial was over. It was late on Friday, and everyone was tired. Judge Jones recessed until 8:30 Monday morning. Ron was handcuffed, surrounded by deputies, and hustled out of the courtroom. He had behaved himself so far, and it had not gone unnoticed. The front page of Sunday's Ada Evening News ran the headline, "Williamson Controlled During Trial's First Day." The first witness Monday was Dr. Fred Jordan, who, for the third time in the same seat, testified in detail about the autopsy and cause of death. It was also the third time that Peggy Stillwell had suffered through it, and the ordeal was certainly not getting any easier. Fortunately, she could not see the photos they were passing around to the jurors. She could see their reactions, and that was enough. Dr. Jordan was followed by Tony Vick, Fritz's neighbor, Donna Walker, the convenience store clerk, and Letha Caldwell, the late-night acquaintance, all three as useless as they'd been in the Fritz trial. The fireworks started when Terry Holland was called next. During the preliminary hearing, she'd been able to spin her yarns with no fear of getting caught. Now, though, with Ron glaring at her and knowing the truth, things would be different. The tales started immediately. Holland was describing statements Ron allegedly made in jail about Debbie Carter, and it was obvious Ron was about to explode. He shook his head, clenched his jaws, stared at Holland as if he'd like to kill her. Finally, she said, he said if she'd went ahead and went with him, he'd never had to kill her. Ron said, "Oh!" loudly. Nancy Hsu asked, did you ever hear a phone conversation that he made that related to Debbie Carter in any way? Holland, I was working in the laundry. I was a trustee. Ron was on the phone to his mom, and he told his mother, he was trying to get her to bring him cigarettes or something. I'm not sure what, but he was hollering at her, and he told her that if she didn't, that he'd have to kill her like he did Debbie Carter. To which Ron yelled, she is lying! Nancy Hsu continued, Ms. Holland, did you ever hear him describe or talk about any of the details of Debbie Carter's death? Holland, he was telling, I guess in the bullpen, the guys back there, that he said he shoved a Coke bottle up her ass and her panties down her throat. Ron jumped up, pointed at her, and yelled, you are lying! I never said nothing like that in my life. I did not kill this girl, and I call you a liar! Barney, be still, Ron. Ron, I don't know what you're... I mean, you're gonna pay for that!